For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 91. We're getting close to 100, John.
Yes, it's going to be a big party. We got to do something, though. We got
to
figure something out.
Let's go to J. Tim's. Let's just get hammered and eat wings and have an episode.
Wings at J. Tim's.
Matt Sarois is in.
For the 100th
He'll
episode.
Even haul the equipment. He doesn't put on a suit for less than $400, but he'll go to J. Tim's with us. Anyway, people who are along for the ride know the crew. Matt Sarois produces it. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here.
That actually might work, though, because it could be the week of the World Series. If we go on schedule and we can watch the World Series, eat wings.
Drink beer.
Do what we got to do.
And do our show. That would be a lot of fun. And maybe we'll get a guest or two. You know, we were supposed to have Rico Bronya on. He had some surgery, but then he just played in the Mets Old-Timers game. So we got to get him
on. So no excuses now.
Yeah, no.
Bobby, is Keith Hernandez in the Old-Timers game?
I don't know. I just saw Bobby V had the mustache on, which was kind of funny. Although
it was weird. All I heard about that was the fact that they retired Willie Mays' number.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, what happened?
I know. That's weird. on the agenda today, Aaron Judge. And very specific things to say vis-a-vis if he passes Roger Maris. And I have a very strong opinion on what that means to baseball. And we'll also get John went to see some high A baseball in the Yankee system, which is super cool. I think the best thing, that's what's great about Hartford with the Yard Goats. I mean, you see these guys in double A, but you saw some in high A, which is even more accessible. And then we do need to talk about the disaster of the Red Sox in terms of what it means for Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora moving forward. I'm not saying they're going to get fired or should be fired, but we have to have some semblance of a conversation. But let's talk to Judge. I mean, forget about where we are in the day. Let's not screw that up. He's over 50 home runs. He could easily get to 61, which is Roger Maris' previous record.
Right. He's on pace for like around 65 or something like that.
And again, he has these droughts, though, sometimes. And everyone
Well, I mean,
does.
The big thing hasn't been so much of a drought. It's just he hasn't been pitched to. I mean,
right.
Since the Yankees have been kind of tanking, we'll say, he just hasn't been seeing pitches. He's kind of doing what Barry Bonds was up against.
Right. Every time he gets one, he
hits it out.
It.
Yeah. You know, and he hits the ball hard, too, which is good. You know, he's not missing any of his pitches. I mean, we know, listen, Aaron Judge is not at the point of the season now or in his career that he's going to be slumping where he's not going to have the ability to do it. It's a matter of if he's going to see the pitches.
So let me say that the people who have hit more home runs than 61 in a season, it's Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds. Now, Sosa did it 1, 2, 3 times. McGwire did it twice. And Bonds has the all-time record at 73. Now, Giancarlo Stanton hit 59 back in 2017. And then you have Ruth at 59, Ruth at 60, Maris at 61. And this is not controversial. I wish there was a way to not recognize the other ones because I think Maris's record is a true record. Now, I have no idea what these guys put in their bodies. I'm not even insinuating. I don't know. Judge is a giant. I mean, you don't use PEDs to get to be 6'8".
But he's also not doing it at the back end of his career either. He's not doing it at 39 or 40 years old.
That is true. Yeah. But you can't just assume anybody's clean. So I'm not insinuating that he's not. I'm just saying that physically.
Yeah, that's one thing. You can't insinuate anything in Major League Baseball anymore.
Right. But the truth is you can, make an assumption for now that he's that physically gifted because you can be sold on it because he's just so big and he's a good athlete. And so I honestly think that the Maris family deserves better. And I don't respect, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, great major leaguers. I mean, Sosa, who knows what would have happened if he didn't juice. But, I mean, McGwire was legit before. Bonds was going to be a Hall of Famer either way, probably. But I don't really respect those seasons, right? So,
well, if you look back on it now, right? And Bonds, what was it, 73 or 74?
73.
So you look at what Judge is trying to do right now. You look at what Maris did. And it wasn't that long ago, 98, and what was it, 2002 or 2001?
Mm-hmm. Well, Bonds was 01, and then the other guys were 98, and 99, 98, and 01.
Right, after the, yeah. So you look back, and you're thinking to yourself, these guys hit 73 home runs, and we're squabbling over, like, can Judge do 61, right? So that alone tells you they were doing something.
Different.
Mm-hmm. They were aided, like, because...
You've had 160 years of baseball.
Right.
You know, it's an anomaly.
Exactly.
And there's a reason it's an anomaly.
If I'm going in front of the board or whatever, I'm like, there's your argument right there.
And you look at Maris's body, it really is amazing. And he, you know, obviously he wasn't DiMaggio or Mantle. Like, he didn't have that career.
Right.
But I mean, if you look at his body, I mean, you know, I mean, it's as legit as you can get.
Well, I don't think you find anybody looking like that in Major League Baseball anymore. There's very few guys.
But my point is that he didn't, you know, he's just an average looking guy who hit 61 home runs. He hit lightning in a bottle.
Exactly.
But he hit every single one of them. And so I was wondering what your perspective is, do you want him to surpass Maris? And how do you frame it in the history of baseball?
So that's a super interesting question. And I have two parts to answer. Do I want him to do it? One reason I don't want him to do it is because I feel like the Yankee season is going to turn into, but Aaron Judge broke the record.
Lost the World Series, but.
But. The other part of me is I want him to not break it because if he breaks it, then it's like he has to stay. If he leaves, it's going to be that much more painful. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I want him to do it because maybe that's the kick in the ass they need, right? Maybe that's the rallying call going down the stretch. You know, look at, he's been doing it all year. It's time for us to get behind him. It's time for us to ride. Like, we got on the wave, it crashed. Let's get back up on that wave. So the other part of me is like, let's do it for the whole team. So I'm going to just answer overall, yes, I want him to do it.
How would you view it historically?
I view it historically just by the same answer I just gave you a minute ago. I feel like just looking at the numbers that those are obviously tainted. And I think that historically is the Major League record. Definitely, obviously, the American League record. But I look at it as a non-tainted thing until proven otherwise. Now, listen, you can say Bonds wasn't proven. You can say McGuire wasn't proven. But listen, that was before all the testing and all that. I'm sure if they were playing now or back then the testing was the same, they would have been lighting it up on the... They would have been sitting out, right?
Yep.
I mean, if you're Fernando Tatis Jr. and you're getting pinched and you know the testing is there, I'm sure those guys would have gotten pinched. They caught A-Rod eventually, and he was the most sophisticated out of all of them.
It's something where I think it'll be interesting. And I think the debate, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more. Maybe if he gets to 58, then it'll come. People haven't been talking about this, and so I feel like we're sort of at the front end of it because I think it's worth discussing. When you look at it, it's just... To me, so glaring.
Well, if you look like right now, right? So as we speak, there's like a month in the season left. So 30 to 31 games.
Yeah.
So he has to hit one every three games.
Which
is possible. He was on a one every four game pace before, which he had to do. But then he kind of got into the thing where he wasn't getting pitched to. He wasn't seeing the pitches. So still not easy, right? Still not easy, but he can do it. Like I said, if he sees the pitches, Aaron Judge will be able to do it, and I think he'll go over it. I think he could hit 65.
My gut
is
the pitching. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about the fact that he isn't getting strikes to hit until Aaron Boone earlier this week mentioned of it. I mean, he made mention specifically in a post game interview that he's not getting a lot of pitches to hit, and so to see him hit the ones that he does get, and then I realize no one's pitching to him, and so I don't think he's going to get it. I think he'll end up at like 58 or so, but in some ways, I do want him to get it because Maris has sort of already been thrown by the wayside. And
right.
Then I think people will start pointing to Judge and being like, he's the real home run king. And right. I think that's good for baseball in the sense that nobody to date has questioned his approach or what he does to his body. And so if he was there and had 62, I would say, well, he's the one who's hit the most ever because I don't respect the other seasons those other guys had.
Yeah, you make a very good point there about how, you know, it's almost been like, you know, we jumped over that hurdle. We had a movie about it. We had a movie, all that. You know, it's like we're past that. The whole 61 thing.
Right.
You know, and it's like it's time for like a new generation. That's an interesting take. But, you know, the other thing
is it'll reset the bar for the modern record. So then everyone else will say, well, this guy did 62 clean. That's the new bar.
Right, right. And the other thing is what's amazing about the whole thing is he's not seeing the pitches. And if you look at the Yankees lineup since like the beginning of July, I don't think they've put the same lineup out there more than three games or two games in a row. It has been an absolute chess match of lineup, not even when the injuries aren't there. They're just juggling it around. So,
well, they're trying to catch a spark. I mean, they haven't played
the whole
great.
Thing's been a mess. So hopefully they can keep it right and just stay where it is and ride that wave.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Chackman. This is episode 91 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Just quick before we move on to your Hudson Valley Renegades, do you think it's actually possible that Tampa or Toronto could catch the Yankees? Do you think that's possible?
Well, that's it. Tampa plays the Yankees again. Toronto plays the Yankees. They don't play them enough to statistically catch them head to head. So they need other things to happen. And Baltimore is going to be a thorn because there's a lot of AL East games left still.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to catch them. I think the Yankees have hit their roughest stretch. And like, listen, if they play 500 on this last West Coast swing and come out,
they're in good shape.
Right. So they're about to go into the rubber game. I don't think they're going to catch them. I still think, you know, Seattle is the dark horse in the whole thing. I think they can really be a thorn in everyone's side in that whole mix. And I said it a long time ago before the season started, and when everyone was preaching, you know, all four teams are coming out of the AL East, and I said, look out for Seattle. And they got those two pitchers and, you know, Castillo, Robbie Ray, you never know.
So let's get to this Hudson Valley Renegades. So it's high A.
Yep.
What town?
It's in Wappinger Falls, New York, near Poughkeepsie, not far from Poughkeepsie.
So how far is it from...
From say, Hartford area?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like an hour and 35
That's
minutes.
That's it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Wow.
Right out 84, right off of 84.
Because you're from up there, do you have family there or just went on a junket?
No, nope. So I'd been up there, I went up there maybe four or five years ago to see a player named Garrett Whitley. He was a number one draft pick from the high school I went to, and he was playing for the Tampa Bay Rays at the time, and that was their high A team. He's in the Orioles organization now, Brewers organization. So we were going to go up a couple weeks ago, but something else came up, and I was like, you know what? Right before school starts, a 2 o'clock game on a Sunday, let's go check it out. It's like a week before their season ends.
Both boys?
So the whole family, me, the wife, and the kids went up, and you know, it's funny because you go to these minor league games, and you know you can sit anywhere you want, right? So, but what I did is I bought the tickets a little bit late, but I bought two seats right along the right field line. So the kids had access to be down there.
Yep.
Like nobody's going to kick you out, right? So you can be there right to the last second. So, you know, they took their balls and they took a couple cards and they wanted to get Jason Dominguez, obviously, because he's the big draw there, the Martian, the big, you know, $5.1 million international prospect. So he unfortunately did not get him, but they have Trey Sweeney, who was their number one pick last year in 2021. And they have Anthony Ziegler, who was their number one pick in 2020. Now, a lot of these guys, you know, Dominguez is 19 years old. He looks like he's like 30, you know, like not like,
like
his,
wait, because he's weathered or just
no,
he
no, not like weathered, not like Juan Soto weathered. Like, no, he just looks like he's a man among boys.
Gotcha.
When he walks by you, you don't really think he's 19 years old. You know, you look at him and you're like, this dude can probably go out and play in the major leagues tomorrow.
I can't even legally drink.
Right, right. But when you think about it, if you're a superstar, you should be in the major leagues that year or the next year, way things are going now.
The way it's trending, sure.
You know, but you got to remember, a lot of these guys, all of these guys, lost a year because of the COVID, right? So some of these guys are like, look at Corbin Carroll, who just came up for the Diamondbacks. He's played 70 minor league games because he was injured last year. And he is like one of the top three players in minor league baseball. And he just got called up. So there's a big, you know, like there's a big curve right now.
Was it easy to get? Because we went to the Yard Goats and you and your son were on the field with me. Was it easy to get access to the guys?
They walk right by you basically. And you know, here's the deal. So there was like three or four guys to our right that were like the 40-year-olds that are there trying to hawk the prospects' autographs. So you just look at them, and you're like, all right, really? So my sons went to the left of them a little bit. And unfortunately, what happened is when Jason Dominguez walked up, those guys are like yelling and yelling and yelling. He saw them and he's just like walked right by them. And by the time he hit the kids,
he was
like 6 feet past my boys and he signed like six or seven things. And I heard one guy say like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Like, like people like he never signs. He like never stops and signs. So at least he got that. But so they missed him, and I attribute that to the 40-year-old.
You know, of course, blame it on the old dudes living with their
exactly,
mom.
Exactly.
Meatloaf.
Yeah. So I mean, there was actually some dude that came up and was like saying to my youngest son, was like, "You want my autograph?" And my son's like, "Why would I want your autograph?" And he's like, "You sure you don't want my autograph? You sure you don't want my autograph?"
Was he a player?
Well, yeah. Like so, he pulls out his necklace. And he's got this gold necklace, New York Yankees necklace, and he's like. Yankees second baseman, 1975. You never know who you're talking to. And I was like, all right, listen, dude, if you're hanging out down here drinking beer at a high A ball game next to these guys trying to get autographs, like
that was bizarre.
Stretch, like, right? Really a stretch. So like right away, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, I'm like, that's pretty crazy. You know, what's your name, sir? And he's like, I think he said Sal Perrone. So of course, you know, like right away, I'm going to Google the guy's name. And the weirdest thing comes up, Sal Perrone, something serial killer, gets 75 years to life. So like right away, I was like, all right, so this is not normal. Like, I don't think this guy's a serial killer, but like, I'm going to have to like look in this a little bit more. But no Sal Perrone or Ferrone or anything came up in the 74 or 75 Yankees. So like
random,
just some random dude. But it was like to the point where like he was making my son uncomfortable. And I was like right to that point where I was going to be like, all right, guy, like
get away from my kid.
Like he doesn't want your autograph. He's not here for your autograph. He's here for the same one you losers are here for. You know what I mean? But he's 13.
That's
you know,
scary.
It's just weird, dude. You know, he's drinking a beer, and I'm like no former MLB player hangs out at an A-ball game.
Well, first of all, no former MLB player tries to solicit people to
autograph, like diddler alert, right?
Oh my gosh!
So anyway, so Dominguez goes by us. We don't get him, but we got Trey Sweeney, who was very cordial. He signed the autograph. He got a card and a ball, and then he actually, I said, Trey, could we get a picture? And he had started to sign a few more kids, and then they stopped, turned around, came back, and got a picture with my kids. So,
because well, you know, a picture is something you don't sell, so I think they know it's like a more meaningful thing to do,
right? And it's cool too because you never know. I mean, Trey Sweeney was a number one draft pick, right? The chances of him making it are pretty slim still, right? But he's a number one draft pick. That dude could make it. He could be a big star someday, and who knows? You know, just say, "Hey, I got my picture with Trey Sweeney."
Some of these kids, my son has a friend who it's what he does. He finds out who's coming to the Yard Goats. Gets their card.
Yep.
Gets it signed.
That was me when I was 13, 14, 15, 12
years
old.
But you couldn't flip it on eBay.
No.
For $5 or $8 or $9.
But I still got Bernie Williams cards, balls, you know, awesome. Like that kind of stuff signed. Deion Sanders, that stuff. So.
Hey, before we go, I do want to touch on, I mean, the Red Sox are done. I did that 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to go through that rant again. But there's some.
That was, honestly, Brian, I was not here, and that was a very sentimental, that was heartfelt. Like, you were legit upset. Listened back to the podcast.
I don't know how I feel about following them right
like
now.
Like, it wasn't so much a soapbox. It was more of like a heartfelt rant.
Well, I think Red Sox,
I've seen the soapbox rant before.
Red Sox
or
fans,
proclamation.
They deserve better. Don't look back at him.
But no, I'm being honest. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for listening.
And listen, I do listen back, especially when I'm not here. When I'm at undisclosed locations, I listen back.
So I think Red Sox fans deserve better, and I think it's been proven that you can rebuild and reshape your franchise without being losers. When you have Boston, which is one of the wealthiest franchises in all of sports, so I think it's an insult to tell me that this is all part of the process, right? And I sort of fall in that Dan Shaughnessy camp where it's just kind of embarrassing. Now, there's grumblings. I want Chaim Bloom to do what he wants to do with a little bit of advice, which is you can create a profitable budget and be competitive, but you have to sprinkle some risk appetite into it if you want to win. And so the thing that, you know, it's obviously how you do it. You have a couple of low-end salary guys, arbitration eligible guys, and a couple of free agents. And you curate prospects to sell some and to keep some. I mean, if you have three or four homegrown guys in your lineup, you're doing a great job. You don't need to have eight. And so I think that the one thing he's doing is he's sort of doing Tampa North, but he's not doing it with the Boston little add of touch of seasoning, and that's what he needs to learn. But there's grumblings about whether he should be fired, whether Cora should be let go. And then you have Sam Kennedy, the president and CEO of the team, saying they're coming back. And I think it's premature because even to do what Bloom wants to do, he needs a couple of years runway. But
how long has he been the GM?
I think this is like,
well, he's not technically the GM, right?
Right. They do now have layers of management. I mean, I think this is his second full season.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, listen, it's second full season. That's, what are you going to do in 2 years?
But
unless
you
get the ultimate.
But they suck. Yeah. They are terrible. So my point is that I don't advocate firing him, but I think that there has to be some sort of recourse for being so bad.
Well, you're not going to fire Cora because you already bit it with him by bringing him back after firing him. So you can't fire him again right that quick. So it would have to be Bloom or some patsy underneath him, one of his layers.
I mean, if this were the Yankees, you'd be blowing your top.
Yeah, well, I'm already freaked out about the Yankees getting rid of Jordan Montgomery. I mean, that alone, I feel like Cashman should have to be held accountable. I mean, he's been there forever as it is, but it's like, why would you? That alone has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well, actually, so we'll put a ribbon on it that, you know, I don't think Cora and Bloom should be fired, but there has to be some recourse because there's no reason to be this bad. Since you brought up Cashman, we'll end on that. They haven't won since what, 09?
09.
Okay, that's 13 seasons.
Right.
And I understand Cashman seems like a good guy. He's obviously bright. I'm not taking anything away from his acumen. But at some point, I mean, what are the biggest droughts in Yankee history? I mean, I know the 80s were bad, but this is close to the longest drought.
Well, that's the other thing, but you also have the resources too, right? It's not like you're on some struggling franchise, right? That's never gonna, that like you're like, every 3 years you might get lucky and you have to work around stuff. You are on the team that you just got done explaining you want for the Red Sox to go out there and get somebody and all that. Well, instead of going out there and getting Luis Castillo, you went out there and got Frankie Montas, right? So maybe that's why you don't get the World Series this year, right? Time will tell that, but should he have pulled the trigger and traded one of these top prospects, like one of the ones we were just talking about, Jason Dominguez, you know? Right. So maybe that's the time you need to get someone in there that's willing to say, screw it, let's mortgage one of our future now, and like, let's go for it now. And that's not what you've seen this year from the Yankees.
So they went from 62-77 without a title. They went from 78-96. So
that was the longest, probably.
That's 18 years, and we don't have to go back because they won in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
So they're on 13
50s.
Now. They're coming up on 13 now if they don't win.
All right, so 18 is that most previous. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't advocate for anyone's firing, but I would say that
he's been there a long time. Like, if there's anybody, like,
and he's not old, by the way. He's not old.
Well, because he started, he was like 13. Like, he was like the assistant to the assistant to the assistant when he was like 18 years old. So he's been there forever. But if there's anybody, if we're talking between Chaim Bloom and Brian Cashman, who should probably go if the seasons don't pan out the way they should.
So you think he should be fired if they don't win the World Series?
I think a lot of Yankee fans think he should have been fired last year. But they were surprised that they signed Boone for a contract, so he's not going to get let go because he's got two more years left on his deal.
Mm.
So he's only
55 years old.
Right. But I mean, listen, dude, he has been the Yankees GM since 1998, right? I think.
Yeah.
That's a good run. That's a damn good run.
It's a really good run. And they're making money, though. I mean, I don't know.
He's got the resources. You should win in 13 years with the New York Yankees.
I would think so.
Yeah. I would think so, too.
I would think so, too.
Real quick, though, before we go, and I totally can't remember. I can't understand why I didn't remember this. What's the worst injury, DIL? Chris Sale falling off his bike or Dumba Chapman with his tattoo infection in his leg?
That's close because they're both so likable.
I'm still trying to process that one. If he was actually a difference maker, I'd be upset.
I think the bike is dumber. Because listen, I mean, just because
you can't wait till after the season to get angry.
But also, if you make millions, go to a guy who at least is like got clean stuff.
You know what I mean? What were you doing? Like, did you go like?
No.
Did you run like a Tough Mudder right afterwards or something?
But would you rub dirt on it?
I don't understand. Like, how in this day and age,
raw chicken with it?
How in this day and age you get an infection from a tattoo if you're a multi-million-dollar athlete?
I don't know.
Like, stick your leg in an ice bath.
But
or
who
something.
Goes on a bike and trips, hits a rock and goes
Squirrel!
Flying? I mean, seriously, they're both bad. But I still think Sale is just like the worst. But
and there's probably still paying that idiot. Like, there's got to be something in your contract. If Aaron Boone loses his contract for playing basketball, same thing with Tatis. They're sticking by that idiot. There's got to be a clause there.
When he got in the motorcycle accident, I was like, this
Kent all over again. But zillions of dollars.
All right. Take a deep breath. It's not even teams that you care about. You still get fired
up. Aroldis Chapman, come on.
You know,
man.
I know it's bad. But I mean, I can't stand the guy anyway. So. I don't want anyone to get hurt or suffer, but
I'd say do better. But I feel like that's just par for the course for someone like him. How come that's not on Instagram? Is his boiled up leg?
I don't know.
Missed that one, Cuban Missile.
He's John Senecal, a rare form today. I love it. I'm Brian Shack, and this has been Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.